Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations.
It's the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. The Early Morning Late Show. Get your day started.
Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Welcome to Thursday, October the 12th. Hope you had a good night's sleep. Thanks for being with me this morning. I want to start with a passage from Proverbs. I love Proverbs 3. I can go there any time, night or day, and be pretty happy. So in Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." That's a good way to start the day. There's an auction of Da Vinci's painting of Jesus going up for sale at Christie's in New York. It is expected to fetch $100 million. So I was interested in maybe jumping in on the auction. I called my bank. They said I had $471.86. And to not bother. But I have Jesus in my heart, and I didn't have to pay $100 million. He paid the price, so I am the blessed one. Anyway, we've got a very interesting show this morning. We've got Allie Perrone coming on the show. She is from the A21 campaign. In an effort to stop slavery and sex trafficking, and there is a lot of problems going on, and we're going to get an overview, and there's a big walk coming up, Walks for Freedom. We're going to find out all about that. And I'm very excited because I have Kim Cattola coming into the studio today. So I have an ironed shirt on today, so I'm very excited for that. And we've got a great show planned. So we'll take a little break when we come back, get Allie on the phone, and find out what's going on with the A21 campaign in just a minute. Good morning. It is 7 minutes after the hour. So glad you're with me this morning. Welcome to your day. So Allie Perrin is the U.S. East Coast Ambassador for A21. It oversees operations and technical work within the U.S. East Coast office. Her work with A21 started in 2015. She had the opportunity to co-lead the Walk for Freedom in Sydney, Australia. I would love to do that. I'd love to go to Sydney. Why not? She, in 2016, transferred to the Charlotte office and is assisting in further developing the restoration aspect of A21. A lot of us are wondering, what is A21? I do have Allie on the studio line. Let's find out. Good morning, Allie.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. Is it Perrin or Perrone?
You know, it's whatever you want it to be.
Awesome.
People ask me that all the time, and I say Perrin. My dad says Perrone, so it's really whatever anyone wants.
Really? So you can't even agree in your own family. I love it.
I know, right?
I love it. All right, let's find out about A21. This is very interesting.
Yeah.
I know our listeners, we've got Walk for Freedom coming up in many of the cities in which we're broadcasting this morning, so this is exciting.
Yes, awesome. So the A21 campaign started actually in 2008. Christine Kane, which I believe you guys are familiar with, she was walking in Greece in a Thessaloniki airport and saw missing posters of children and asked, you know, why are they all missing? And someone had mentioned, well, it's most likely that they're human trafficking victims. And at the time, human trafficking wasn't known to the world as much as it could have been, as much as it is now. So she, you know, started doing research and found that it was a global problem that affects every state, every city, everywhere, no matter if you're, you know, a country that's developing or a developed country. So it was really a matter of just gathering that evidence. And then she launched A21 in 2008. And now across the globe, we have 12 offices in 11 countries. And we actually have an office where I'm stationed out of in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, so Allie, first of all, fascinating story. And then secondly, I want to see if I can't just get a better understanding of just the whole scope of human slavery today. I mean, maybe you can give some examples. I mean, I would bet the enemy would love to keep this evil in the dark so
right.
people aren't informed.
Absolutely.
That way it can continue and we want to bring it into the light.
Yeah, it's definitely evident how often that the enemy is wanting to keep it behind closed doors. And every effort that we make, it seems like there's a pushback of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you a little of an idea, in every country, it's going to look different based on economical stance and people, what the demand is. But across the globe, they statistically have about 21 to 27 million estimate are trapped in modern day slavery today. So modern day slavery can include forced bondage. It can include forced marriage. It can include sex trafficking. It can include labor trafficking. And it has such a broad scope across the globe. So for example, in the United States, it could look like someone that you would just pass by in walking, like you wouldn't even recognize someone.
Mm-hmm.
But in Thailand, in one of our other offices in Thailand, it's mostly children under the age of 10. So it's really different in each state, in each city, in each country. But at the same time, there's no face to the name. It's anyone that could be walking by you. But the tough thing about it is that it is actually an $150 billion profit per year. So that's more than, I believe it's McDonald's and Apple and like another major organization, their revenues combined, it makes more than that. So it's a high profit, but it's a low risk because it's people. You can always change your methods. And oftentimes people say, it's the second largest global organized crime next to drug trafficking. And that's because, unfortunately, for people, you can continually sell them, but for drugs, you can only sell them once. So it's the fastest growing crime, but it's second to drug trafficking. And it's just, it's building momentum, but at the same time, we're learning ways to fight it. And that's the exciting part, is that there is ways to fight it and there is ways to abolish it.
Allie, this is just, it's stunning. I mean, I guess I'm not so very aware of these numbers, but I appreciate you telling me these numbers, as early and shocking as these numbers are at this time of day. It 21 to 27 million people in slavery.
Yeah,
around the world. That's crazy.
It's mind blowing.
It really is. Do you have a specific story or an example of someone that, you talk about these missing kids on pictures in the airport in Greece. Do you have any kind of specific stories to just give us a profile of what one person might be doing or going through?
Yeah. So, if we're talking obviously in the United States, because that's most of what we'll see, a lot of times what traffickers will face themselves as is a boyfriend. And it's not to say that all traffickers are male, because mm-hmm. there has been females previously, but most of the times it is males, and it'll be someone saying, I'm your boyfriend, and kind of coercing someone. It's a matter of force, fraud, or coercion by legal definition of what human trafficking is. But with that said, it's a mind game. So it's a matter of taking the most vulnerable. So someone who's young, or even someone who is low in self-esteem, like something as simple as that, and reaching out to them, maybe on social media. That's been a big thing, obviously, as social media grows, so are the traffic within that for traffickers to reach out to potential victims. And so it's someone reaching out and becoming either someone's boyfriend or a trusted even family member. And then once they gain someone's trust, then, that person then becomes a victim, because they'll say, okay, now I'm going to force you to do things. But at that point, it's not too late for the person to be rescued, but it's too late for them to turn back,
mm-hmm.
because they've now been threatened. Maybe because of the trust that's been gained, they know their family, the trafficker knows their family, so they can threaten more than just the individual. And so it becomes a lot more responsibility on that individual to actually walk away from the trafficker, because oftentimes it's not just them being threatened, it'll be their family members as well. So it's a matter of just someone who's they're very, you know, they're hiding something. There's a lot of, you know, lying going on, or there's a lot of things that don't match up in their story. And so that's the signs that we've seen in the States. And outside of the States, a lot of times abuse can come into the factor, through that would be a force portion of things. Mm-hmm. It's just abusing the person to get them to do things. Whereas in America, more so, people, the demand, unfortunately, is for people to look nice, for the women to look nice. Mm. And so, in terms of, if we're talking specifically sex trafficking, it's for the, you know, for the victim, unfortunately, to look nice. So they won't be beaten, but they will be threatened in a mental state, and potentially they'll, you know, be given drugs or something of that nature. So that's just, I mean, that is a small aspect of many people's
sure.
stories kind of combined. And that tends to be a high pattern, those different aspects.
You know, it's, I did hear a story even that happened at the Mall of America here in Minneapolis of someone that was contacted online, presenting themselves
yeah.
to be somebody that they're not. And then they
right.
go and meet that person. And all of a sudden,
right.
this young woman was swept away into sex trafficking. And, you know, she came from kind of a nice little home. And I think they were able to
yeah.
get her back within a week. But it was horrific.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's the thing is that that is some people's stories, honestly,
yeah.
is that you meet up and it's not who you thought it was.
Right.
And that is, for us specifically, our stats for, in terms of survivor, the recruitment methods that we've had previously, the top one is false job advertisements. So saying that, you know, and that could be like the story you just told. It could be, you know, someone either overseas or in America is coming over because there's a job opportunity, whether it might be education
mm-hmm.
or it might be a specific career, and someone has an opportunity to either come to America or get a better life, but get a
yeah.
better job, and they're promised, you know, modeling or acting or something like that, and they show up and it's actually not at all that.
Yeah.
And so that's been our top, and that's globally. So it happens, you know, outside of America, that happens inside of America. And so, and that's the hardest part is the, you know, like some of the top ones are false job sold by family and
sure.
having, you know, it being a
yeah.
boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah. Ellie,
so,
let me take a break. When we come back, I want to ask
yeah.
about how we can mobilize people to be engaged
right.
in fighting this issue. And then I want to talk a little bit about yeah. the Walks for Freedom. Talking to Ellie Perrone from A21 Campaign. Be back in a minute. Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour. I'm talking to Ellie Perrone from A21 Campaign, trying to abolish slavery in the 21st century. Ellie, it's interesting how easily manipulated we can be by something.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember buying
yeah.
Rust proofing once for my car. So, you know, that can happen.
Yes, exactly. When you don't even want to.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. But I felt like I had to.
Right.
Now, A21, let's just talk a little bit about the organization. It isn't necessarily a Christian group per se, but you're a believer and you want to take your gospel perspective into helping this project.
Yeah.
And I think that's a wonderful thing. I mean, I'm all in favor of great organizations doing great things. Step one might be to help someone get out of slavery.
Right, exactly. You know, and that's the thing is that's something that we all are super passionate about, making sure that we're showing the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's just something that like, I knew it was my calling.
Sure.
And I knew my first step, which I think is awesome, that you guys are, you know, reaching out, to us, because it's the first step was, it's my calling, but what now, you know, it was a matter of educating myself.
Sure.
Well, how can I help? How can I reach out? And that was just the first step. So it was definitely a calling on my life. I think mostly it was, you know, I would assume it's because people aren't meant to be slaves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, secondly, it was very much, you know, just a tug at my heart, because it's such a intense issue, and it is such a there's so many factors to it that it takes a village to abolish this, and we believe that we can, and we believe with other people we can even more so. So it was just getting on understanding completely what is it and how can I use my gifting abilities and talents to actually help it. And so here I am.
Yeah, this is a gospel empowered calling for you, which I love.
Yeah.
And Christians are people that should be mobilized to fight, especially for causes like this. What can the average person do? Let's just say I'm just got out of the shower and I'm just trying to get dressed and go to work and I'm hearing this, or I'm driving to work and I'm already late.
Yeah.
So I got a lot to do today. What little thing can I do to start making an effort?
Honestly, I think it's about telling people what it is. I have so many family members, just in passing, if it's at lunch, if it's at your lunch break or your morning coffee break, it's a matter of just being like, hey, have you heard of human trafficking?
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, have you heard of the A21 campaign that's fighting human trafficking? And it's just a matter of really just the start is letting people know that it exists. Because I have multiple family members that they're like, what are you working in? What is that? And I have to explain it from the get-go of like, this is what it is. They're like, oh, but it doesn't happen in America. And I'm like, no, it actually does. It happens in our town. So it's a matter of just telling people about it. And then if you have, if you have a few minutes, start reading up about what are the statistics? What is someone's story? Connecting it with that, name, and what is, what is the different aspects of it? And then even going further, even if you've educated on the bare minimum, seeing what would identify someone as a potential victim. And then I personally have the National Human Trafficking Hotline on my cell phone, like already programmed in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if at any point in time I feel that someone is a victim, I will call that and leave a tip. Because the more tips they get, especially for a specific person, they might have a case open, or they might be one tip line away from having that case opened by law enforcement so that law enforcement can go in and do the rescue. And so it's really just a matter of educating what are the signs and how can I, open my eyes to really look for it and then do my part in it. A21, we say we exist for the one survivor. We also exist for that one person who's willing to go that mile and say, and it's not even a mile. It's just a simple, let me pick up the phone call or let me even text and say, I think that this person's a victim. Here's some information.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why.
Yeah.
You know,
Ellie, tell me that phone number you've got on your phone.
It's yeah,
the hotline
absolutely.
For what?
It's the National Human Trafficking Hotline.
There we go. National Human Trafficking Hotline.
Yes.
Okay.
And so that, did you need me to give you that number?
Well, is it an 800 number?
Yes, it's an 888 number.
All right. Why don't we take it? Because I'd like to have it myself. 888.
Absolutely. It's 888-373-7888.
Uh-huh. So if I had that on my phone and I saw something suspicious, I could dial and phone that in.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's very helpful. All right, when you get into discussions, we've just got about 2 minutes left. When we get into discussions about human trafficking, do you find that it becomes polarized and political when you start these discussions, or are people genuinely interested and want to help people?
Yeah, it definitely, I personally have never had an experience with it getting political. People
want
to get interested.
Wow.
Yeah, people definitely want to get interested.
I'm shocked.
And reach out and figure out how to help. And that brings up a good point about Walk for Freedom of like, how can people get involved, especially this weekend? Walk for Freedom is our largest global event that we have every year. And this year we're supposed to have 400 walks in over 50 countries. And so that's super exciting for us, because everyone collectively is standing together on the same day around the same time on Saturday, October 14th, to say, we will abolish slavery and we will not stand that it still exists. And so we're walking in a single filed line, and it's just a walk for usually it's about 2 to 3 miles
mm-hmm.
for most places. And we'll be wearing shirts and that says abolish slavery with every step, and then bandanas to represent each person, there's like three different names on the bandanas.
Mm-hmm.
And there will actually be a podcast in talking about stories. there will actually be a podcast you can listen to while you walk that will tell you three different stories, a man in the Ukraine, a child, a little girl in Thailand, and a woman in the USA. And you'll get to hear all those different stories. So we definitely encourage everyone to come out to their local walk. And you can actually go to a21.org/walk, and you'll be able to find the walk nearest to you. So super easy. We highly encourage it because it's our biggest awareness event. And the more people we can get to raise that awareness, the more we're going to get the message of freedom out.
Nice. Well, I know we've got walks in many of the listening areas of the network. So I'm encouraging our listeners to go to the website. Is it a21.org?
Yes, /walk.
/walk, and you can find out exactly where everything starts and get one of those cool t-shirts. And I don't know if I'd wear the bandana because I don't want to mess up my hair, but you know, it's...
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, okay. Ellie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
And be praying for you this weekend.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You bet. It's 27 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break, and special guest Kim Cattola is going to be with us in studio. Oh, that's exciting. Back in a minute. Good morning. It's half past the hour. We're going to take a little break for news. And then when we come back, we've got a very special guest. Kim Cattola is in studio. I could not be more excited. I have an ironed shirt on in preparation for my big meeting with Kim here in studio. Be back in a minute.
We're connecting faith and life together.
I mean, it's always a challenge to keep our thoughts on Jesus in the midst of all the distractions that are going on around us. And I find that if I turn to other places on the radio, I can easily start to get my mind thinking on topics that really aren't helpful to my soul. Listening brings me back and makes me a healthier person, emotionally, spiritually, enriches my life and leads to more flourishing along the way.
It's the intersection of faith and life. Faith Radio.
Hey, we're back. It's 25 minutes until the top of the hour. I already have Kim Cattola in studio, so very much looking forward to our conversation. But just before that, let's see what Pastor Leon Fontaine says about what's in your heart. Because what's in your heart may be guiding and influencing your thoughts, actions, and beliefs more than you realize.
As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And then I thought, what do you mean thinks in his heart? He thinks in his head. And then I began to study the Bible, and I found out that as you go through how you have to establish your heart, how God looks at the heart, how that the heart is something that we actually can control, I found out that the head has fleeting thoughts, beliefs, emotions, but the heart can be established in false doctrine, real doctrine. It can be established in fear or in faith. And that it's really the establishing, or I put it this way, the belief systems. What are the beliefs of your heart?
If you want to hear that full interview, Beliefs in Your Heart, from Pastor Leon Fontaine, head over to myfaithradio.com. You should find it there. Type in our search engine, Pastor Leon Fontaine. Be back in a minute with Kim Cattola.
I'm amazed how little excitement there is in the church over the coming of our Lord. So what's up? This is Jim Garlow. In years back, we often greeted one another, Maranatha, our Lord is coming. That's rare these days. I think we've become, well, overly acculturated. We say, I want the Lord to come, but could he wait until my daughter graduates from high school or until my son has completed medical school? What difference is any of that going to make when he comes? Like one of the great reformers said, I don't want God to come because I'm still working on my commentary on Revelation. Really? Do we think we'll need it then? Revelation 22 ends with this prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. And if I could, I'll add, Jesus, we're so ready for your coming. There's more at jimgarlow.com. Live out your faith.
Good morning. It's 22 minutes until the top of the hour. Kim Cattola is my in-studio guest. Could not be any more excited, from Cradle My Heart Radio. Kim, good morning.
Good morning.
This is so fun.
Hi.
I don't even know where to begin.
Face to face.
Yeah, this is really fun. Fun for me. I think you should run for office because not only what you would say, but how you would say it, everyone would vote for you.
Oh, man, that's really sweet.
There you go.
But know the game you're in, Bill, because politics is fundraising.
It is. It's all about money, isn't it?
We're already in a nonprofit mode.
Yeah.
And one of my best friends said to me, now let me get this straight. You run a nonprofit, but you don't like asking for money.
Ooh.
And I said, exactly.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, you have a...
yeah.
You know the game you're in, Bill.
But it's,
I don't think politics is it for me.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the news going on. Now, Marsha Blackburn was shut down by Twitter, but we've got some big news regarding that, don't we?
I really admire her.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of last year, at the very end of the year, I think it was on December 30th, her office issued a report about what ought to happen as a result of those 2015 undercover videos from the Center for Medical Progress. And she suggested investigations needed to happen across several fronts.
Mm-hmm.
And she got to work on that. And, you know, the mainstream media ignored it. It was December 30th. But they continued on the narrative that these videos were a hoax. They were debunked. They were heavily edited. All the Planned Parenthood talking points. And Representative Blackburn has continued to pursue it. And so that's what she says. And now as she's making a bid for the Senate in an ad that Twitter said, I'm sorry, you can't say baby body parts in an
really?
Ad. That's just way too offensive.
Yeah.
So they censored her ad. And because she is who she is, she's kind of, and I say this as a compliment, she's kind of a bulldog. She was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to tell everybody you tried to shut me down. And, of course, how foolish of them. They already have done this to other pro-life organizations, but to do it to somebody who actually has the force of law behind mm-hmm. the job that they're doing and who actually knows the law.
Yeah, but, I mean, censorship could be around the corner for any of us.
Well, and social media platforms, people need to understand this. People think that it's like a public utility. But it's not.
Mm-hmm.
They're privately held businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So they are within their rights to censor the content. You know, and Bill, for us as broadcasters, people may not understand that there are standards that we are accountable to and the FCC will enforce them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you remember the wardrobe malfunction at the Super
Oh, sure.
Bowl, right?
Sure.
The FCC was in charge of, you know, responding when things like that happen that can be offensive or that are inappropriate, et cetera. But that's not the case with social media because these are privately held companies and they get to decide what's acceptable content or not. And so organizations that don't have the clout of a U.S. representative to the Congress
mm-hmm.
are being shut down and censored regularly, not only on Twitter, but on YouTube in particular. There's a real battle for content going on right now on YouTube. And, you know, nothing is free. It's great to be able to have this platform and get a million followers and say what you have to say.
Right.
But this is part of the price.
So when Twitter let Marsha Blackburn back on Twitter, was she allowed to say baby body parts?
Yes. So
okay.
They accepted the original ad.
Okay.
So she was saying, you know, hey, we've gotten some things done, including taking action against those who are selling baby body parts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want, you know, you can find the story on Twitter. I don't want to misquote her, but
right.
that was the gist of what she was trying to say. But they ended their standoff with her after she went public with it. It took one day for Twitter to go, oh, wait, maybe the wrong opponent here. So in a statement, Twitter said the original call was made on the basis of their advertising moderation policy rather than violations of general terms of service. And, you know, people could be offended by the content. And they said our ad policies strive to balance protecting users from potentially distressing content while allowing our advertisers to communicate their messages, blah, blah, da, da, blah, da, blah, da. But anyway, nowhere in this is this more difficult than in the realm of political advertising, they say, and the highly charged issues often addressed therein. After further review.
I love that. After further review.
We have made the decision to allow the content in question from Representative Blackburn's campaign ad to be promoted on our ads platform. And that's the other part of it. You know, if you're sponsoring content, they absolutely can say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just as, you know, here at Faith Radio, if someone wants to be an underwriter and they have a mission that's in complete conflict with what Faith Radio does, Faith Radio has the right to say, no, I'm sorry, we won't take your underwriting donation.
Right.
You know, because it's a... You know,
a violation, it's a conflict.
It's organizational
something.
Integrity,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, right.
So, but that is that really what was going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for their part, the Blackburn campaign has said it's unfortunate they tried to censor us, but a good thing they've done the right thing mm-hmm. now.
Kim, who wants to be Representative Tim Murphy right now?
Oh, my goodness.
Not even Tim Murphy.
You know, I don't have this fully formed in my mind. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you, Bill, or anybody else listening can let me know, hey, Kim, you're really off the mark there. But if you Google Representative Tim Murphy mm-hmm. and you get all of the mainstream press about this guy on the pro-life issue because he's known as a pro-life champion. But it comes out in a divorce case that his married mistress was encouraged by him to abort their child. Yeah. It was a pregnancy scare. No abortion actually happened. But when that came to light, he said he planned to retire at the end of his term this year. And then Paul Ryan called on him, the speaker, and he decided to resign within 3 days. Mm-hmm. So everyone is saying, you know, this is, it's really despicable. Of course, that he would be standing for pro-life and legislating for pro-life, but then doing something very different in his private life, mm-hmm. not least of which is, of course, you know, the infidelity and lack of accountability to his own spouse. So many problems there, so much hypocrisy. But what really struck me, Bill, is people who are advancing abortion rights ought to be running to his defense. They should not be stigmatizing him. Mm-hmm. The narrative is abortion on demand without apology.
Mm-hmm.
So if a man insists for it to protect his interests, he should get the right to say he wants abortion on demand and without apology. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't everybody be on his side on this? If you're in favor of abortion as, you know, a right according mm-hmm. to the U.S. Constitution, talk about hypocrisy. There's triple layers of hypocrisy going on from abortion rights advocates that have picked up this story and said, see, pro-life people are just hypocrites. They just want to tell other people what to do, but it's really not based on any principles. And all the talking points that mm-hmm. are out there, they really ought to be coming to his aid.
I agree.
I don't think we're going to see it, though.
No.
I don't think it's probably going to play out that way.
You make one good point after another. And I have her in studio today, folks, just so you know. Kim's in studio. All right. It's 14 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a very short break and then continue our discussion with Kim Cottola from Cradle My Heart Radio. We'll be back in a minute.
One, two, three, four.
Good morning. It's 12 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here, a true radio professional, is here in the studio. Was not connecting that to me. I have to try to fool people every once in a while. Kim Cottola is here with me in studio from Cradle My Heart Radio. Kim, it seems like more often than not, abortion will be used as a way to cover up someone's infidelity, just like it was the case with Representative Murphy.
I think that, yeah, that's the point about that story that I really want folks to understand. Often abortion is chosen to cover what was going on before the pregnancy occurred. The reason people will list when you ask them why they had an abortion is generally it's economic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to interfere with my education. I'm not going to be able to get a job. I already can't afford my housing.
Mm-hmm.
It's 78%, I think, or even higher, according to Guttmacher.org. But if you scratch that surface and you go a little deeper about what's actually going on in the person's life, they'll often say, I might lose my job because I'm not married. I might lose my job because I don't, you know, if people knew how this pregnancy came about, I would either lose reputation, which may tend to impact my employability, you know. And so the thing that's so important for us to remember is, and Bill, you know, as many people know about my story, I chose abortion as problem solving. It mm-hmm. was very pragmatic. Mm-hmm. I had no moral dilemma because no one told me that it was wrong. In fact, the law is a moral teacher. And so when something's legal, people assume that it's okay mm-hmm. morally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was problem solving for me. But what I wasn't told and what I didn't know is that every pregnancy involves two people. Obstetricians practice that way. They have two patients with every pregnant woman. And so we have to start. Vision is, you know, vision, Bill, is when we see that which is yet to be. And we need as a culture to develop this vision that sees both woman and babies, you know, woman and child. The beauty of God's economy is they're inseparable. He's made them to be one until the time of fruition when the child is born. But we need to not behave as if there aren't two there simply because we can't see the baby yet. I mean, of course, we can on ultrasound. You know, the ultrasound evidence is there. But yeah, if Representative Murphy, not to be picking on him, because he's got a lot of problems right now. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of things he has to reconcile. I don't know how you recover from a scandal like this.
I don't know how he does either.
I mean, it's probably ended his his marriage along with his career.
I don't know about that, but yeah, but 64 and he's retiring and he'll probably.
This is how it comes to light,
yes,
that he's had an extramarital affair, that he's practiced adultery, let's call it what it is, that he's sinned, right? And so abortion can never solve problems. It always brings more problems into your life. And I thank God that there was a pregnancy scare, as they say, you know, and she was not pregnant and there was no abortion. But it also shows you that it's possible for somebody to be staunchly pro-life. That's a term we hear a lot. You know, that means as pro-life as you possibly can be, and still find yourself either promoting or engaging in having an abortion.
That's a tough one.
It's pregnancy news is a shock to the system. And what do we do in cases of shock? Fight or flight or freeze? You know, and I think that's what actually happened to me because the Holy Spirit came in at the last moment. And you never sometimes, I don't say never, but you often don't know the Holy Spirit's work until you look backwards. And you say, oh, that's what was happening. You know, because I was given a moment of truth right before the abortion took place when I knew in my deep in my spirit that this is wrong. I believe that was the Holy Spirit today. I can give credit. I froze, though. I was not able to even take in that information that was coming into my spirit, and I passively allowed the thing to happen, you know. And so that's the dynamic of sin. That's the dynamic of the human heart, which, you know, the scriptures tell us is deceitful. We listen to our hearts. We're likely to do anything when we've, you know, when we feel shock or when we're, our current situation is threatened by, by new information. So I pray for him. I really, as I say, I thank God that there was no abortion, but I pray for him. And I would ask that everybody considering his case would try to put yourself in that position. You're married. You've been cheating. Now it's going to come to light that you've been cheating because there's a pregnancy. You know, really, do you know what you would do?
Right.
Really, do you know where your fear would take you? And I think, you know, if we can humble ourselves to try to imagine that we've gone that far off the path, I think it's easy to see how he really needs God's mercy and how we really need to be sure that we're daily being filled by the Spirit to protect us, right? That we're coming first thing every day to humble ourselves and say, fill me, Lord, because apart from you, I can do nothing.
Yeah. You take drugs and alcohol out of the equation and prisons empty.
That's for
90%
of
prison inmates go away. And if we just play fantasy here for a minute, if people live by God's biblical design for sex, I think the abortion issue would pretty much go away as well.
Amen.
It, you know.
Now, abortions happen within marriages. They do.
That's true.
Again, often for economic reasons.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm just saying a big percentage of them would just simply go away.
You're absolutely right about that.
Because I think this, you know, Representative Murphy has a wife and then he has a mistress and the mistress gets pregnant and he says, well, let's get an abortion.
Well, so. And, you know, if we take this back to the self-discipline that the Holy Spirit gives us, right? You did not receive a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline, right? So if we look at that and what happens when it's lacking, yeah, I mean, again, just about anything can happen to us. But if we have the self-discipline to not enter into that illicit activity to begin with, you're right, then we don't have to worry about all those consequences. This is why if you can, you know, if you grasp that it's God's love It's God's love that's saying, don't have that affair.
Mm-hmm.
Because my child, bad things are going to happen.
Right.
It's not that I'm mean and don't want you
it's
to have fun.
It's because I love you so much.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if we can... And one of the things that is really key, Bill, that I help young people in particular understand is that the reason that it's wrong to have sex outside of marriage, which is where you were going with it, the reason that it's wrong is because the opposite of love is neither indifference nor hatred or contempt even. The opposite of love is using someone. And so just about every sexual relationship outside of a marital relationship is use, often to the point of, you know, predatory use. This is what is so troubling about Representative Murphy's activity. You know, this was predatory, right? You've had an affair with a woman. Now you're going to say she must destroy the evidence.
Yes.
You know, and become complicit in the loss of human life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's using someone, Bill. That is not love. Right? In humility, consider others better than yourself. Love puts the other person first. And he did none of that. And I think that that's why, you know, again, it's so troubling to learn that this person who's been a champion for the cause of life has such a fatal character flaw that at his moment of truth, he failed.
Can you stick around a little bit or do you have to race away?
No, I'm here.
Oh, that's awesome. So we're going to take a little break and then I think we'll take a news break and be back with more of the show in just a minute. All right, that wraps up hour one. Kim Cattola is going to stick around a little bit in the studio. We're going to bring Dr. Peter Kapschner in. That's going to be interesting. So stick around. Be back in a minute. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.